You can be seated. The first thing I'd like to do is to apologize for not having service last night and also for the delay in service tonight. I'm very sorry for the inconvenience, and we had hoped to have everything ready, but we didn't get everything ready on time, and I'm sorry. That's all I can say is I'm sorry. We still don't have the platform, nothing like finished. They don't even have the ramp up, but we appreciate you people bearing with us, the ones that did bear with us. We appreciate your courtesy and consideration. We haven't had a meeting under the tent since the last meeting we had under this tent was over in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the end of the last year. We had a great, grand, glorious time there. The Lord blessed and people was saved. People was renewed in the faith and people was healed. As a matter of fact, even healed of cancer by doctor's report in the last meeting. You know, when you go to set for the first time in the coming year, it doesn't matter what you have, you always have to go back and rebuy. And I know it's kind of hard to believe, but just the setting alone here in Macon, there was no way that we could figure, you know, that we could get around $20,000 just to set here in Macon. And the Lord has step by step worked with us, and it's been a great miracle this far. You know, it's hard to believe, it's hard to grasp the fact that it costs so much to do something. But here we had some things that we had to buy and replace, and this first setting of the year was real expensive. But I thank the Lord for His wonderful blessings and for His kindness and for the patience of the people. You know, it doesn't seem like it, but you can't hardly, a tent like this, you can't hardly bring one to town under, well, we still have four more poles that goes with this tent that we're not setting up, but you can't possibly bring one to town unless the Lord works with you, one like this, under about $50,000. And then with that, it takes a lot of skillful men and women working with you that's willing to donate their labor or give their labor to the Lord to be able to do it then. So we thank God for every one of them that has worked with us and been so kind to us. I thank the Lord for it. And tomorrow, the Lord being willing, tomorrow they'll have the platform in better shape, and we'll have the ditches and things covered up. It'll be much nicer. I trust that the mosquitoes are not going to bother you tonight. They sprayed under here. They're supposed to have a smog machine out here. They promised us they'd have it over in the evening, and they didn't get it here. Maybe we'll get it tomorrow. But we'll certainly keep the mosquitoes down and keep you as comfortable as possible. You know, you just have to endure a cross in some way to be able to have a crown. Isn't that right? It takes a cross to be able to have a crown. So we're going to have to endure a little bit of hardship if we ever work for Jesus. I think one of the great problems of the church today is that the church is too plush. Everything is too plush. Christianity, as we call it, or religion, is becoming too plush. And the Bible said, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion," and they're getting at ease. And everything is becoming too plush. They're losing their cross. They're losing their perseverance and their endurance. And because of that, they're also losing their crown. So then, we need to press in for God and do something for God. How of you want to do something for God? Let me see your hand. Can you lower the organ just a little, brethren? All right. And let me say that it's a real privilege for me to be here in Macon, Georgia, to have a chance to fellowship with you. to enjoy the wonderful presence of Jesus. And though Satan has hindered, God is going to bless us here in Macon, Georgia. We're going to have a meeting for Jesus. And I understand some people have already gotten up and left. They didn't stay with us too long. Maybe they had to go to work or something. I don't know. Maybe it's just getting started late that discouraged them. But we're still planning to have a meeting here in Macon, Georgia. And we want to welcome you here to the meeting. We know the Lord being with us, we'll be here at least 10 days and maybe longer. We have this lot here for a month if we want it. We've rented it for a month just in the event we wanted to stay. But we have it for 10 days here. Our meeting is scheduled for 10 days. And we're planning to do something for Jesus. Now, just before I stepped out of the little motor home to come in here tonight, the anointing of the Lord came mightily upon me while I was standing inside there. And the Lord is here with us in this meeting. He is concerned about what we're doing, and He's here with us in this meeting. And I trust that the Lord will bless you. I believe that if you're sick, I believe God will heal you. I believe that if you need salvation, the Lord will save you. And I believe that if you need deliverance from evil spirits, God will deliver you. If you need peace of mind, He will give it to you. And if you've got financial problems, He'll meet your needs. I really believe that God will do that for you. Every night, we'll come here to pray with you and to believe with you and to do all we can to see that God does meet your needs. And if you'll pray and believe with us, then I know that Jesus will do just that. We're going to try to start as early as we can and try to let you out just as soon as we can every night, not to hold you long to weary you, but to get the word of the Lord over to you. You know, in years gone by, people wanted to come to the house of God, and they would stay till 12, and they would stay all night. Paul the Apostle preached all night to the people, and the people would stay all night long. But people are losing their perseverance. They're losing their spiritual interest right here at a very, very sad moment. If there was ever a time in life when people need to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, it's right now. If there ever was a time when people's minds need to be on the Word of God and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's right now. The Son of God is just getting ready to return. You know that. If you've got any kind of understanding of the Bible, you know that. And right now is the time when we really need to press in and do something for Jesus. Now, I want to say that we're thankful to have you here and numbers of people here that I would love to personally recognize and say something about, but there's just numbers of them, and we won't be able to do that, but from time to time we will make mention of some of them that we know, and if they drop us a little note up here to where we can tell who's here, we'll let you know who's coming to be with us. People come from all around, you know, to be in a tent meeting, and a lot of folks that won't go to church will come to tent meetings. I've had people saved in tent meetings that live next door to the church. When I say next door, I mean they lived as close as us from here, maybe to the automobiles outside here, but they wouldn't go to church. But when we set the tent, they come and gave their heart to God. After that, they made good church members. So, how are you glad to be here? Let me see your hand again now. All right, I believe that you are. Now, I know some of you say, well, I'm not going to make any commitments as to how I feel about being here until after I hear you. Well, that's all right, that's good. You know, the Bible said, try the spirits, and I know some of you here, you know, are here for that purpose, and that's good. That's good religious fidelity. And I know that, you know, everywhere the sons of God come, the sons of Satan come also. I know that we've got some here that's not going to be interested in God. They come out here to find fault, and about time I start to preach, they're going to go out just like a flock of birds. I know that because in every meeting that happens, you know. But still, at the same time, they've got their job to do, you know. God put them here to do their job. The Bible said He hardened Pharaoh's heart for a purpose. And they got their job just like I got my job, and we just had to do our jobs. But on the other hand, there are people that come here to try to find out if this is of God and if it's truth and if it will stand up in the judgment, and if it will be a benefit to them in their spiritual growth, and they're wanting to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and they're here for that purpose, and they will latch on to it, and they will accept it. Whereas, you know, it is a sad thing, folks, when you stop to think about it like this, that there are people, religious people, who never grow. They never grow in the understanding of God. Though we're commanded to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, to the full measure of the full stature of Jesus Christ, who was our example. But it's sad to say that there's some people that have got hung up on what they think is God and their convictions and how they feel about it or what they've been taught. And they are much like the Jews in the years gone by that had the traditions of the elders and knew nothing about God. Like the Jews that knew about Moses and the traditions, but knew nothing about Moses as God. So then it is true that they know about churches and they know about doctrines and they know about religions, you know, but they don't know anything about pure and undefiled religion. And they don't understand, they don't grow because they do not allow for any growth. You know, if you get stunted in your growth, you just can't grow. If you don't allow for any growth, you can't grow. You have to be willing to listen. And the Bible says be quick to hear and slow to speak. So, you know, you have to be willing to listen. And the Bible teaches that you should take heed how that you listen or hear. The Bible said take heed how that you hear. And it tells us that we should give the more earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest at any time we let them slip. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. He's in control, and he can do strange things. But if you will come with a real heart of God, and you'll come to listen, and you'll give the gospel a chance, you'll listen, then you'll grow. You listen to the word of God, you'll grow. When the preacher says something or somebody says something you don't like or you don't agree with, don't just walk out. There might be something in the store that you could buy that you like that might fit your appetite. And even though there's a whole lot of things in the store that you might not like, there might be something that God has that might benefit you. I go into some stores and they sell some stuff that I don't think they ought to be selling. But they do sell some stuff in there that's good. And, you know, you're dealing with people. You're dealing with hundreds of thousands of people across the world. The Lord has blessed our ministry and we are in every major language of the world as far as the translations of our message. And the Lord has blessed us. But we're dealing with every kind of people. And in that we are dealing with every kind of people, that means we are dealing with hundreds of thousands of different minds. One person will say, no, it's not of God. Another person will say, Brother Pike, I have never heard anything like it in all of my life. We get letters from the far-flung corners of the world. And they'll write and they'll say, we've never heard anything like it in our lives. Now, whereas people are listening, but see, you're dealing, and I want to say these few things just before we read and talk to you. We're dealing with human beings, and every individual is a sovereignty. Are you listening now? Every individual is a sovereignty. Which means every individual has a world of their own. A world of their own. Every individual has a world of their own. They live in a world of their own. And in their world, it might be a stormy, stormy day. It might be a dark, dark night. Whereas in your world, it might be a springtime morning. And the birds might be singing. Everybody has their own world, their own sovereignty, their own thinking. And they orbit within that little world, and they never get out of it unless somebody can reach them, talk to them, convince them, or persuade them, or enlighten them in some way to something different. And if we close out everybody else and everything else, then no one can help us. No one can help us. You know, it's bad to be deceived, don't you agree? But folks, it's horrible to have self-deception. Because if someone deceives you, someone else can help you. But if you deceive yourself, no one can get to you. So then, you live in a world of your own, and the thing to do is to broaden your understanding. Don't just take what you've heard. Don't just take what someone said, because the Bible says God will do a new thing. And the Bible said, if nothing else, God's mercies are new every day. So knowing that God is new and God is moving by His Spirit and that we're moving on into the perfection of God, then that means that God always has something new for us. Now, I'm a preacher that believes that everything new will fit the old foundation, and it'll be line upon line and precept upon precept. And I don't believe that God will give you anything outside of His Word. I believe everything has to register with His Word, fit His Word perfectly, and found itself on the Word. And I believe that we should try the spirits and see if they be of God or of the Word, because God is the Word. But at the same time, I don't think that we should try the spirits by our conviction or what we think about it. That's where people make a mistake. They try the spirits by what they think about it or by their conviction, and that's wrong. See, and they never grow, and they cut everything out. So they never give themselves a chance to grow. But let's try it by the Word, because if you listen a little longer, maybe you'll find out that you were mistaken about it. I've learned in my lifetime of growing that many things that I did not understand and did not believe in my earlier life, I found out that I was altogether wrong, brother and sister. I heard people preach things years ago that I just shut my heart to at that moment. And I said, no, I just don't believe it like that. But to my utter amazement, as I began to call on God, I found out that I only hindered my growth in God and could have done far greater things had I listened, because they knew what they were talking about. So then I tell you again to open your heart, listen to the things of God. Listen and evaluate properly, and you can grow in the things of God, and you'll be glad that you did. You'll be thankful that you was that kind of a person. If you don't have any more salvation, any more strength in God, you know, to the extent that you can't listen, there's something wrong with you. If you don't have enough strength in God to listen at something that might not be God, to take long enough to find out whether or not it is God, then there's something wrong with you. Did you know that? There's something wrong with you. Say, no, Brother Pye, what I'm afraid of is that if I listen to it, that I'll backslide on God or I'll sin against God. Well, I tell you what, if you'll come out here and get some of this that we preach, you won't have no problem with them kind of things. You see, in this book, we're taught that he that is born of God cannot sin. So you won't have any sinning problems if you'll come out here and get acquainted with what God's doing. So you don't have to worry about them kind of things. A lot of times we think we know something when we don't know something as we ought to know. I tell you this, and then we're going to read a little scripture here. Now, it's a real pleasure to talk to you and get acquainted with you. And if you leave me before I get through preaching, or if you leave and don't never come back, I love you anyway. You know, I love you. If you're my enemy, I still love you. But it'd be a whole lot better if we can walk along together and do something for God. Now, I'm glad that I understand the word of the Lord. And I do by His grace. Not anything I've merited, but by His grace. I understand the word of the Lord. We've read this book from cover to cover. And we've been through it again and again and again. I've read that New Testament through on my knees to make sure I didn't miss none of it. And I understand the book. When it comes to the book, that's no problem. We understand the book. But, folks, I tell you something, there is something beyond the book. Beyond the book. When I say that, I mean beyond the printed page, because these words are spirit and life. And there is something beyond the book of the printed page things that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, and things that have never entered into the heart of man at any time, things that God has said abundantly above all that you can ask or think, that He will reveal to you by His Spirit. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. John, in the first chapter, the first verse, he starts off by saying the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's called the revelation. And Paul the apostle to the Gentile church, said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The church needs the spirit of revelation today. I think that's one of the great things that's missing in the church today is the spirit of revelation. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, the book of Revelation, that's all that there is to it. And the Bible said if you add to it, the plagues of the book will be added unto you. If you take away from it, then your part will be taken out of the book of life. I know that's true, but if you'll read in the New Testament, you'll find out that John isn't the only one that called his teachings the revelation of Jesus Christ. You'll find out that Paul called his teachings the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you'll find out that Paul said things altogether different from John. But he did not add to nor take away. He just broadened the scope of the great mind of God in the heart of humanity and in the earth, line upon line and precept upon precept. But it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then today we're glad to say that we have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, that can't be, Brother Pike. You can't do that in the day that we're living in. And that's all right. If you feel that way about it, that's all right. I love you just as much. But folks, you're so mistaken. A few years ago, I might have agreed with you, but I know different now. If a man is a millionaire and he knows he's a millionaire, all of your talk will never change that because he's not making believe. Now, if he doesn't have anything and he's making believe, that's a different situation. But if you've got $10 in your pocket and somebody says it isn't in there, you know better than that. So then, as Paul said one time, he spoke of his much revelation. God had given him much revelation. In these meetings, these 10 days that we'll be here, a lot of times we can't bring out revelation like we'd like to because we're dealing with a lot of babes in Christ and we just have to deal with the milk of the word because, you know, you can tear up the system of a little baby. God showed me that in a vision one time in California while I was preaching, and I saw this vision. He showed me how it tore up the system of some little children. And he taught me something at an early age about that. So I have to be careful what we say. But a lot of times in preaching deliverance and praying for the sick and preaching the Word of God, we'll get in a little revelation. To them that are strong, they can eat the meat. The Bible said that the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So then we drop in a little meat for the strong. And we will from time to time, and it's going to sound strange to some of you. It's going to sound real strange. But I'll tell you what, if you'll just sit at the table, and you'll eat, and you'll drink, it'll be the happiest time of your life. Once you get into it, just getting a little taste of it, it's like honey in the rock. But my beloved brother, sister, if you ever see the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's another world. It's the grandest, most glorious thing that has ever happened to humanity. All right, now I know I'm saying a lot tonight. By the time I get through, I won't be able to preach to you here, but I'm preaching to you anyway. We're getting acquainted. Let's get acquainted tonight anyway. But let me say this. Now, if the people knew what was taking place, I say this often in our meetings, and especially in the Macon meeting here. If the people of the area in Macon, Georgia, knew what was taking place in this meeting, we're here by the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Paul went up and conferred with Peter by revelation. We're here by the revelation of the Lord. A lot of our meetings are about revelation. If the people knew, I believe this, and I'll have to answer to God for it, because the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And if I'm not telling the truth, then I'll have my part there. But this is the truth as far as I know. There wouldn't be a place to park a car probably for a mile radius if they knew what this meeting had to do with. If they understood tonight what this meeting had to do with. Because this meeting here has to do with the end of the world here in Macon, Georgia. You say you don't know. Yeah, there is a place in God where you can know, my brother. You say, nobody don't know that. The Bible doesn't teach that. It's contrary. The Bible said you're not children of darkness but of light. That day should not come upon you unaware. You know when it's nigh, even at the door. So then, it is a true fact that we're not here just to have another meeting, though we are here to have a meeting and love the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. But we're not here for just another meeting. This has to do with a profound meaning and a great thing in the history of mankind and the religious move of Almighty God. All right. I just felt like saying those things, and I'm going to read just a little scripture to you tonight and exhort you. And like I said, I know that different ones will be going, and as some go, others come. In a meeting, you have a turnover. We have different people leave a lot of times, and they want no more and be gone before there be two or three cars will pull up in their place. And all through the meeting, you have a turnover. God does that to reach people that they might be guilty in the day of judgment, or that he might reach them for the benefit of their soul, whichever way, you know, it chooses to go. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with us here in the book of 1 John chapter 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. All right. Can we stand together just for a moment now? Now, while we pray together, I want you to bow your heads with me for just a minute. Father of heaven, we thank you tonight for the wonderful blessings of your holy Son, Jesus. We're thankful tonight for the mighty anointing of God that we felt already. Lord, we're thankful for everyone that's come here to be with us tonight. And we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that they receive a special blessing tonight. That something special will take place, Father, every night of this meeting in the hearts and lives of people. God, that they can go away being blessed and saying that it was good to come to the house of the Lord. I ask you to bless, to save, to forgive, to heal in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, you notice that we read here in the scripture, the Bible says that now, beloved, are we the sons of God. You know, a lot of people don't realize that we already have something from God. A lot of people preach that there's going to be a great day of coming. And as it has been said, that there has been a great time in the past. And they don't understand that God is doing something right now. People that are not spiritual cannot see spiritual things. Isn't that right? They cannot see spiritual things. The Bible teaches that man looks on the outward appearance. Therefore, he cannot see spiritual things. All he sees is what he looks at with his eyes. But God being a spirit, we've got to remember that God is moving in the spirit, and God is doing things in the spirit, and he is the invisible God, and he is doing things after an invisible manner to where you cannot tell what God is doing unless you are a spiritual person. This is why we use the term that we really need to get a hold of the revelation of Jesus Christ or the spirit of revelation. We need the spirit of revelation in our lives. We need God to move in our lives that we might have the spirit of revelation and be able to understand the things that God wants us to spiritually understand. Isn't that right? So then tonight, God is present here in this building. How many of you tonight see God? How many of you tonight see God? Though God is present here tonight, how many of you see God? Now you can see Brother Pike, you can see each other, but how many of you tonight see God? You say, well, Brother Pike, what makes you so sure that God is here? Because the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So then that means that tonight God is here somewhere in this tent. Isn't that right? God is here tonight in this tent, and inasmuch as God is here, we ought to be able to see God. Is that right? We ought to be able to see God tonight. If God is here in this tent, we ought to be able to know that God is here. If we are the sons of God, if we are the children of God, then we ought to be able to know the voice of God. Is that right? The Bible teaches that my sheep know my voice, and if the sheep of God know the voice of God, then if the voice of God is here tonight, then we ought to be able to hear the voice of God. Is that right? All right, so then tonight, we are trying to bring you to a greater light of the Lord. One thing we need to understand, folks, is the thing that's going to rapture the church or translate the church is the mind of the Son of God or the Lord Jesus Christ. There is absolutely nothing that can translate the church but the mind of Christ Jesus. And if you don't have the mind of Christ, then you cannot be translated. Now you might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's all right. That's your privilege to believe whatever you want to believe. But I'm telling you what the Bible teaches about it. You cannot be translated without the mind of Christ. It takes the mind of Christ to translate the church. The only way that the church can get out of this world is by translation of faith. You must be translated out of this body into the new body, and the only way that you can do that is by faith in God. It is a sad condition for the church when they just sit around waiting for what they call the rapture. To begin with, when you say rapture, that's the wrong application to begin with. There is no such thing as a rapture. When you say rapture, the Bible doesn't teach anything concerning the word rapture. That is a misapplied word to start with. That's not right. That is a man application to it. And it has caused a lot of people to misunderstand what God's doing. The Bible doesn't say anything about rapture. It tells us that we are translated. We are translated, and the Bible said that Enoch was translated by faith, that he should not see death. Therefore, we are not talking about a rapture. We are talking about a translation from death to life. We are talking about being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Now, you can use the word rapture, in that the word rapture means be caught up or caught away. You can use the word millennium, but the Bible doesn't use those terms. A lot of times a man will put an application on something that will be besetting to the people. We need to explain, we need to express, we need to make known what we're saying in detail that the people can thoroughly understand so that they can have the proper faith when it comes to making the translation. We are changed from glory to glory. When you tell people that they're going to be raptured, all they've got to do is get saved. They get the idea that what you mean is come up, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come up and repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you don't have to worry. You can do like you want to, act like you want to, go where you want to, be what you want to. But God will take care of it. But folks, it doesn't work like that. See, the Bible says that we are changed from glory to glory, and we are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Jesus. That Christ is our example, and that if we get out of this world alive, we are going to have to do it the same way that Jesus did. How many of you believe that Enoch was translated? I say this a lot of times in our meeting to clear up some things with Bible scholars so that we can get off to a good start. First of all, Enoch was translated. He was translated, and when Paul speaks of translation, he uses Enoch. He refers back to Enoch because the Bible says that Enoch was translated by faith. Now, I know that there's a teaching in the land, and here we go, crossing something to begin with, but we have to do this to preach the gospel. Every preacher has to cross something. There's no way to preach the gospel without it. Paul disputed daily. Barnabas had dissensions because they had to preach the gospel. You cannot preach the gospel of Christ without crossing the Pharisees and the Sadducees in their doctrines. There's no way that you can do it. You know, if you want a hypocrite, just watch somebody that'll pop up like in a popcorn popper. They'll say, if he ever says anything about a church or a sect of religion, I'm leaving. That's because you are a hypocrite. You can't preach the gospel without saying something about it. If the Lord Jesus Christ had been preaching the gospel, you'd have got up and walked out on him because he cut across that continually. It was continually that they did that. All right, so then when we say Enoch, translated by faith. Now we've got to cross something here. There is a teaching in the land today. The teaching is that they say that the Bible teaches that Enoch is coming back here during the tribulation period. That he must come back and give his life. Because Enoch never died. So they say that he's coming back here. They teach that he must come back here. They teach that him and Moses is coming back here. Now, with the Moses part, that's right. With the Elijah part, that's right. You say, Brother Pike, how can you say it's right? What makes you a Bible authority? What makes you stand in a position to where you can say yea and nay? Because it's been revealed to me. You say, well, Brother Pike, it's been revealed to the others. That's where the contest comes in. If it's been revealed to the others, then the others need to put me to silence by what they're preaching because my mouth needs to be stopped. The Bible said there's some mouths that need to be stopped. They subvert whole households. But, brother, if I'm preaching the gospel, then what I'm preaching, if I detail it and prove it by the word, there are some other mouths that needs to be stopped because the gospel must be preached. When Barnabas and Paul had a dissension down there, they had a dispute. They had to go up there and get with the brethren and settle that thing because it was absolutely imperative to the church that they get the thing straightened out. Here come a bunch of men teaching circumcision, saying that they had to be circumcised. The Bible said Paul, Barnabas, they had no small dissension with them, no small dispute with them over this thing. Why did Paul do that? Why didn't Paul just let the thing ride, as we say? Why didn't he say, well, we're just not going to do that. We're not going to cross up over this thing. Because Paul knew that God had sent him to justify the truth. And the Bible said wisdom is justified of her children. If you've got a real child of God, he's a child of wisdom. And he'll justify the truth wherever he hears it. He'll stand for wisdom wherever he hears it. Because the children of wisdom will justify wisdom. All right, so then we say Enoch must come back and die. I say this, and I've said it numbers of times. If Enoch comes back into this world and dies, I'll take my Bible if I'm living, if God will give me grace, and I'll throw it in the ocean and never speak another word in his name. Because it will prove that God is a liar. And the Bible said God cannot lie. And I believe what the Bible says. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. The Bible said that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. If he comes back and sees death, then there's something wrong with the Bible. You say, but Brother Pike, how then can Enoch get past death when you say Moses and Elijah has to come back? Because the other two was under the law. But Enoch was not under the law. Enoch being the seventh from Adam was a type of the church. And today here we are, folks. We're not under the law. This is glorious. We've escaped the penalty of death. Hallelujah. We can be translated tonight by faith in God. Because we are not under the law. The law and the prophets till John. Since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. And men pressed their way into it. Hallelujah. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to humanity. This is the greatest hour in all of the history of the world. Because Paul in his teachings, having the revelation of Jesus, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but we're going to be changed. You know, during the 10 days that we're here, for them that have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, we're going to explain what we understand. Why the Bible says those things like Paul spoke of them. We're not all going to sleep. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe that we're going to die? The Bible said Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awake him. Don't you believe that we're going to die? I know that it's appointed unto man once to die. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, then we've got to die. But brethren, I read to you tonight, the Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? We're not men, we're sons of God. It's not appointed unto sons of God to die. The Bible said they pass from death unto life. And God hath translated him into the marvelous kingdom of God. Jesus said, ye are gods. He looked at him, he said, ye are gods. When they wanted to stone him to death, Jesus said, for what good work do you stone me? Said, we don't stone you for a good work. You've healed the sick. You've done all these great things. We don't stone you for that. He said, well, what do you want to stone me for? They said, because you being a man, make yourself God. Jesus said, is it not written in your scriptures, in your book, that I have called ye gods? You know what a god is? Folks, a god is something that can't die. A god is something that's eternal. A god is something that's rich. A god is something that's wealthy. A god is something that has the desires of its heart whenever it wants it. They spoke to him. And they said, you being a man, you make yourself God. He said, because I say I'm a son of God. Because I say I'm a son of God. Now you say, Brother Pike, how could that mean that he was God? All right, we think of it like this. When a dog brings forth, what does a dog bring forth? When a cat brings forth, what does a cat bring forth? When a human being brings forth, what does a human being bring forth? And when a God brings forth, what does a God bring forth? When God brings sons of God, they have to be gods. They have to be gods because they're born of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that this bunch of sinners down here is God? My dear beloved brother, a man that's a son of God don't commit sin. He don't commit sin. The Bible said if you commit sin, you are of your father the devil, because he sinned in the beginning. He's the father of a liar. He started when he told Eve what he did. When he stood there and told Eve what he did, that was the first lie right there. He was the father of it. He brought it into existence. God told her one thing and Satan lied to her and overthrew her. Ain't that right? So then, here's where we're standing tonight. God has called you unto Godship. He has called you unto sons. And did you know, men like Pat Robinson, PTL, did you know that right now, some of those men are so shook up that already they're talking about the mark of the beast coming in 84. They're already talking about it. These checks, it's been released. You know, numbers of people have gotten them, tried to cash them. And they said that they were turned loose before their time. That something happened to the computer. They were not supposed to come out. That they were meant for 84. Everything is pointing to the end. We've got many messages and tapes where we preach the mark of the beast, how it would come about years before it started happening, and the way the thing would happen. And it's happened right down the line to the T. And you know what? When you say the mark of the beast, folks, a lot of people get beside themselves. And they're looking for some horny something to come along, some hard situation. That will never be. You say, well, Brother Pike, what is your idea of the beast? I don't have any ideas about it. I just have what the Bible tells us about it. Did you know that everyone that's not a son of God is a beast? Did you know that every person in this world that's not a son of God is a beast? And did you know the mark that's coming to them? It's coming to them that walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. They that walk after the flesh and don't walk after the Spirit, they are beast. And some of them, the Bible said, are brood beast, made to be taken and burned. If you are not a God, if you are not a son of God, if you're not part of the church, all you say, but Brother Pike, I believe. That doesn't make any difference. The Bible said if you believe as one God, you do well. The devil believes that. That don't mean you're saved. When you see hundreds of thousands of people coming up before the altar, giving the preacher their right hand, making a confession, that don't mean nothing. You've got to be born again. Born of God's Spirit. You can't just join the church. You can't give the preacher the right hand of fellowship. You know, I've said this a lot of times. You get some dreadful disease in your bloodstream. You go down here to the doctor and you shake hands with him. He might be the top physician of the country, but you're not going to be any better when you get through shaking hands. You go by every hospital, every doctor's office in Macon, Georgia. You shake hands with him, but you're still going to die because shaking hands with the doctor isn't going to do you any good. You've got death working in you, friend. And you've got to have something to go in there and get it out. You can join every church you want to. You can be a member. You can pay your tithes. You can do what you want to. But let me tell you something. As long as sin is in your heart, as long as sin is on the inside, you're going to die and you're going to be lost. You can have them to admit you to every hospital in Macon. They can put you in every hospital in Macon, but you won't get well. You won't get well. Shaking the doctor's hand and getting in the hospital isn't going to make you well. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean you're going to have something to get down in the blood vein. They're going to have to inject something inside of you. And brother, when you got sin in your heart, the Holy Ghost is going to have to get in your heart, get in your bloodstream, get in your life. The Bible said God purified the heart by faith. And God has to give you a new heart. And God has to take out the heart of stone and place within you a heart of flesh so he can write the laws of God upon the table of your heart. And unless you let him do it, beloved friend, you can't have eternal life. You can't have eternal life. Eternal life is not just getting a case of do better. It's not joining up with something. It's not being numbered with a denomination. It's not following after something your grandmother or granddaddy believed or something your dad taught you. You might be the son of a preacher. You might be the daughter of a preacher. But you'll still die and go to hell if you ain't born again. Being the son of a preacher won't help you. Being the daughter of a preacher won't help you. You might be married to a Christian, but if you're not born again, you'll die and be lost, my friend. You've got to be born again. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. You've got to be translated as Enoch was by faith into the marvelous kingdom of God. And the Bible teaches that by faith, God has translated us into his marvelous kingdom. So then tonight, saying these things to you, telling you these things tonight, I want you to understand even the little talk that we had before I said these few things, that we are the sons of God. And from night to night, we'll enlarge upon these things. And we'll prove in detail, scripture by scripture, that they are right. And they that love the truth will receive it. They that love the truth will grow. And they that love the truth will understand. And they that want to do what's right will believe what the minister is saying. The other, it will only prove to be the words of judgment in that great day when God causes you to stand there before the judgment bar. Now, we could go on and go on and go on tonight. I could preach 5 hours and not think nothing about it. As a matter of fact, we ministered all night long till the sun come up. Sometimes pray all night long till the sun comes up. You know, preach all night long and not think nothing about it, because we've got a whole lot to say. Jesus said we've got a lot to say, but a lot of folks are dull of hearing. But here in this meeting, we'd like to enlarge upon a few of these things that we're saying. And we'd like to say some things that's going to be strange to you. Some of the things I'm saying tonight, I can tell it's strange to you. But read your Bible. Check your Bible. See if it's right. See if it's right. Just what little time we've talked here tonight. We've said enough tonight to convert the world, just in these few words. Enough to cause a complete revolution in the church world. Because there'd be hundreds of thousands of ministers that would cross me in a minute over just what I've said here tonight. But brethren, check the Bible and see if that's right. Read your scripture and see if that's right. Don't go tell your congregation is wrong, because one day God is going to bring the truth, and then you're going to stand there in their presence. And when you stand there in their presence, they're going to look at you, and they're going to look at you just like they did Aaron. And they're going to say, you're the one that built the golden calf. You're the one that took our money. You're the one that misled us. You're the one that lied to us. And God is going to grind it up and put it in the water and make you swallow it down. That's what he did in that day. So then, brethren, you want to be sure. You want to be sure now. Be sure, you know, there's an old saying, better to be safe to sure than sorry. Isn't that right? So you want to be sure. Let's be sure about this thing. We just get one shot at it, that's all. Just one chance. If we miss that, then we're in trouble. All right, I want you to stand with me tonight. I love you. I appreciate you, your patience, for people of understanding that's willing to persevere and listen. And folks, we'll just be here a few nights, the Lord's willing. I want you to come out and be with us. I want you to come out and fellowship us. And I want you to be part of this meeting. People are going to be coming out to hear about the gospel. There's some churches, some whole churches that said they'd be out for this meeting. And we're planning to have a revival here in Macon, Georgia, and preach the gospel. How do you believe in really preaching the gospel? You know, a lot of people say, well, you can't do that, Brother Pike. But Macon is just right for revival. Did you know that? Macon has been like a graveyard for many years. But she's just right for revival now. Everything is just right for God to make a move. And I think it's so wonderful because there's a lot of wonderful people here in Macon, Georgia. And I'd love to see them get the word of God and get the truth. And I'd love to see them move out for Jesus and do something at this last minute in this last move for God. I'd love to see them do it, and I believe that some of them's going to do it. I really believe that with my heart. I believe God's got men of God here that's going to move out and do something for Jesus. And I want to be a little part of it, and I believe I can. He sent me here to be a little part of it, and I want to brighten the little spot over here in my corner and do what I can. So then we're planning to have a meeting. You know, it's my conviction, folks, that if you believe in God, you can do anything. You know, when we went to Jeffersonville, Indiana, we went there, the Lord told us to set a tent there. Some of you are familiar with this, but he told me, he said, go set a tent in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and preach the gospel to my people. I went to Jeffersonville, Indiana. I went there to set a tent. When I went into the city, we rented a lot, a beautiful lot right downtown. We were right downtown, right with in the business district. And it was a beautiful place, a beautiful setting, and we were having a wonderful time in the Lord, you know, as far as getting everything ready, moving everything in. And all of a sudden, the police came out. And they said, you're going to be held up. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, you ain't going to get to set your tent today. We had everything ready. I said, well, you know, we always like to work with the authorities. We never cross the authorities. We try to work with them. And, you know, if there's any possible way, because the Bible teaches to obey magistrates and the things of the land that God said about it. So then we said, all right. So we told them, we said, we'll work with you. I said, we'll work with you. We'll work with you. So I said, we'll just set the tent tomorrow. He said, well, I don't think you'll be able to set it tomorrow either. I said, no. He said, no. I said, my. I said, I guess we'll have to do something. He said, well, I don't think you're going to be able to set it at all. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, well, I guess we'll have to have an open air meeting because we've already got this meeting advertised. No, you can't do that either. I said, now, wait just a minute. I said, sir, I said, are you under authority to do what you're doing? Yes. I said, is it by the people? He said, yes. I said, isn't that why you're doing it? He said, yes. I said, I'm under authority by God to come here and preach a meeting in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and preach a meeting we will. I took my Bible, I turned around and called my people together, and I started telling them about Jesus. The mayor rose up, the city rose up, the officials rose up, and I mean they just had a fit. And they said, no tent meetings in this town. I said, brethren, if we don't get the permit, by tomorrow the tent goes up, mayor or no mayor. Police or no police, God said put it up, it's going up. My men got together, they went up with the tent, and the authorities about had a fit, the police about had a fit, and about that time God turned the guns on them people and brought in the television stations from out of Indiana the television cameras from out of Kentucky and brought in the paper, and they blasted Jeffersonville, Indiana, and the mayor and all of them people, and the people of Jeffersonville rose up and joined arms with us enough that we could have put in a new mayor. And I'll tell you something, when they flashed it day after day continually, they say no to revival, but revival goes on. Glory to God, every day that mayor had to swallow that down until he sent us word out there. He never did send us a permit, but he sent us word. He said, have a good time in Jeff. Enjoy yourself here. And we did. And we had ourselves a meeting, folks. God blessed us. God blessed us. He was tore up. God blessed us. People got so upset that they may have a new mirror in there now. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, God gave a meeting. One of the authorities came out and he said, you know, he said, I've never known a tent to set in the city limits here since way back, it was, I forget the year, way back when William Branham, a man by the name of William Branham, set a tent down along the river. So that's the last tent I ever remember them setting in Jeffersonville, Indiana city limits. Brother Parnell told me, he said, Brother Pike, I tried to set in the city limits. They run me out. Said they wouldn't let me sit there. But folks, God said set it in the city limits. If God had set it in the suburbs, we would have set it in the suburbs. I'd have set it in the field. I have done it. But when God said set it in the city limits, then it had to be set in the city limits. Isn't that right? Now, here's what we got to remember, folks. You're children of God. When you go to do something for God, you know, if it takes the case of the Hebrew children in the fire furnace, or if it takes the lion's den, you got to stand for God, and God will stand with you in the furnace. Did you know that's how that God exalts his name? When opposition and problem from people come and from authorities come, then when you stand for God, then God magnifies himself. That's the only way God can magnify himself. If there's nothing going on, God can't magnify himself. Isn't that right? So then here in Macon, Georgia, we don't have that problem. They welcomed us here in Macon, Georgia. We passed every ordinance like we always did and could have sat over here in the city limits because they welcomed us down to the sheriff. All of them welcomed us here in Macon, Georgia. And we could have sat back over here in the city limits. Had a place, could have sat over there. But the Lord wanted it out here in this area. And it's outside of the city limits. And so then we thank the Lord because we've had a hearty welcome here. They worked with us. And God is blessing us, and I believe we're going to have a real revival here in Macon, Georgia, because the people have taken the attitude that they have. I want you to stand with me. Forgive me for having you stand and sit back down, but I want you to stand with me. I felt the Lord wanted us to make mention of that tonight. He brought it to my mind. I just said that to let you know that God is on your side. The Hebrew children, in that day, God was on their side. Daniel that day, and still the same yesterday, then forever. Today, God's on our side. Folks, when you meet opposition, don't run. When you meet problems, don't give up. When you have a little case of cancer or sickness or heartaches or whatever it might be, don't give up. Don't give up. Just because you get a little depressed or oppressed and you feel the powers and the weights of the enemy coming down on you, don't give up. That's the time to glorify God. Press in. Have perseverance. Use your faith. Stand there like a man. Stand there like a real woman of God. And press in. And God will deliver you out of every evil circumstance. And he'll give you a victory and a testimony like you've never had in all of your life. How do you believe that? Let me see your hand if you believe that. Praise God. We got some believers here tonight. I believe that. See, Brother Pike come here tonight to work with you. You know, preachers aren't sent through the land to work against you. In Jeff, we didn't work against the people. They joined ranks with us, and we was ready to go. But the devil was in the high places, and he wanted to stop it. A lot of times you got good people there. A lot of times you got bad people. And, of course, that's called the land of red devils up there. And they sure did act up. But whatever, the Lord had his way about it. So tonight, I'm here to work with you. I'm here to strengthen you. I'm here to help you. And we want to do something for God. Let's sing a little chorus together now. We're going to be preaching to you night after night, and I hope, the Lord being willing, that they'll have the cordless mic down here. We're supposed to have a cordless mic. This makes it real inconvenient here with this cord, dragging this cord around. I've done it down through the years, but we use a cordless mic. We have used a cordless mic, and it works real good, and we've got one for this service, and if everything goes well, we'll have it and won't have to worry with this thing here. But let's just love Jesus a little bit. Can you lift your hands with me now? Let's just love Jesus. Let's worship Him. The Bible teaches to enter into the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. So tonight, I believe you came in tonight with that kind of spirit, because I felt a good spirit here tonight. I haven't felt an old evil surmising, scrutinizing spirit that's trying to find fault. I haven't felt that. Let's love Jesus. Let's just lift our hands. I've seen some people cautious here tonight, people that are taking their steps one at a time. God bless you for that. You're not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. You need to approach something with caution. You need to watch. You need to be careful. Your souls are at stake when you come to the crossing. Always watch. Look well till you're going. God will bless you for that. He won't be upset with you. But let's evaluate properly. Let's believe in God. Let's grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Praise God. I thank the Lord for every one of you. Praise God. I appreciate you tonight so very much. I see Brother Jim out there tonight. He said he was going to be with us. He came last night and had to go back, but he's here with us tonight. And I praise God for that. I appreciate these people coming to be with us. I see Brother Junior back there. I hadn't seen him in a long time. Brother Bonnie Watts' son. Certainly glad to have him here with us tonight. Ronnie. The others, it's so good to have them here. Let's just lift our hands up and love Jesus. If you love Jesus tonight, tell Jesus you love Him. Will you do that? I see some faces here tonight that I know. I can't think of their names offhand. I see some that I've known for a long time. We love you and appreciate you from the bottom of our heart. Let's just love Jesus, can we? Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of your darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're grateful tonight, Jesus. Lord, as we feel the quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead. Fathers, we feel the great mighty moving of thy Spirit. Hallelujah, as we feel the anointing tonight, Jesus. Dear God, we feel it breaking the yoke tonight. Father, stretch out your hand tonight. And oh God, heal tonight. Father, forgive tonight. Lord, look down upon us and bless us tonight. Let the Spirit of the Lord be upon us. Oh, hallelujah. As I feel the quickening of the Christ tonight in my heart. Dear God, let every person tonight reap a benefit from this message. Father, let everyone tonight be blessed. Father, let us go away tonight saying that it was good, Father, to come together in the house of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. May thy blessings be with us. May thy glory be with us. May thy strength be with us tonight. God of heaven, I ask in your name. I ask in your blessings. I ask in your strength. Lord, that you be with us. May the glory of God come down tonight. May the love of God come down tonight. Father, may we as sons of God link arms tonight to make a mighty move in Macon, Georgia. Lord, may we link together. Lord, that when we leave this place, oh God, that it will be a great time, Father, that we've had here. And people will know that Jesus has come for a visitation. Lord, let us not miss the day of our visitation. God, let us think. Let us pray. Let us fast. Let us seek thy face. Let us call upon the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, stretch out your healing hand, Father, with signs and miracles and wonders and deliverance, Father, here in this meeting in a great and in a mighty way, that people can be healed and people can be saved and people can be forgiven. And oh God, that oppression will be gone and there will be a great time in the Lord. There'll be a great refreshing in the Lord. Father, there'll be a great thing that will happen here under this tent from night to night. Father, bless these wonderful people that come here. Father, may there not be one person here, God, that will go away, but what they will be healed. May there not be one person here, God, that will leave with oppression. Father, may every demon power be moved tonight. May every evil spirit be broke tonight. Father, may every oppression of mind be done away with. And Father, may the prosperity of God come to these people. I beseech thee as David of old to send prosperity to your people. Father, send health to your people. Send blessings to your people. Dear God, that they might be blessed. Make them to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed them with the heritage of Jacob. Lord, for the blessing of the Lord, maketh the rich and addeth no sorrow. Lord, you said it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. And oh God, give them wealth tonight, spiritual wealth as well as the natural wealth of this world. Lord, that they may prosper even as their soul prospers. And Father, may they have healing. God, may they have health and healing to enjoy the blessings of God. I'm asking you to do it. This is the hour of deliverance, Father. This is the hour of the awakening, Father. This is the hour of redemption, oh God. This is the time when the mind of Christ has come to us. And oh Lord, may the church awake all over the world. Father, as you drop into the hearts of mankind, may I awake, oh God. May I awake, oh God, and not be as the foolish virgins at that midnight cry. May I awake, oh God, to find that there's all in light in my vessel. I'm asking you to do it tonight. May the quickening be here in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. Now, I feel the blessings of the Lord, and I know you do too. I feel faith in your heart out there tonight. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me? For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it with me now? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail those wild seas no more. For though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus, I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus tonight? But in Jesus, I am safe evermore. Do you feel safe tonight? I have anchored. Sing it with me. Sing it with me. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together tonight. Glory to God. I feel His presence tonight. Hallelujah. I believe that's Brother Joe Bell. I might be wrong, but I believe that's Brother Joe Bell. I thought that was Brother Joe Bell. Glory to God. Let's sing that song together, can we? Hallelujah. Let's sing that song together. Can you sing it with me tonight? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though that tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I was thinking tonight, Brother Jim here, an ex-wrestler. Brother Jim used to be the assassin too, wrestling. But God was able to take the mask off, turn him around, and made him even a greater wrestler than he's ever been. Isn't that right? The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Those things in the high places, that wickedness. And God turned Brother Jim around to fight for God. All over the world, God is moving by His Spirit. And God's doing things by His Spirit.
We just closed out a meeting in the arena in Atlanta, Georgia. And there at the sports arena in Atlanta, Georgia, we saw Brother Paul Jones, one of the great wrestlers of his time, that's still the commissioner that's over that thing now, that's had the arena there. He owns the arena and he's had the big Coliseum there for 30-something years for wrestling. But we've seen him and his wife come down to the altar, and we saw God as he poured out his spirit there and blessed them as they yielded their hearts up to God, calling on the name of Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus. You know, it's wonderful. I remember Brother Taylor and I, we was in a home talking to a notable judge. And there as we sat and talked with this judge, I said, "Judge, God wants to do something for you." He said, "I feel like Pilate," as he rubbed his hands around. Tears came into his eyes. And I said, "Judge," I said, "don't you want us to pray for you?" He nodded his head that he did. We prayed for him. I said, "God even saves judges." I said, "God even saves judges." And there's God began to bless him. He gave his heart to God. There, God does that because he loves us, friend. God does that because he loves us. You know, the Bible said that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Isn't that right? But he'd rather that men would turn from their sins and they would call on the name of the Son of God. So tonight, I want you just where you're standing tonight. Now we'll have altar call night after night. We'll have these places covered up here. And we'll have altar call night after night. And God will bless us around this altar. You just wait and see. He does in every meeting. But tonight, just right there back where you're at, I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to ask God to do something for you tonight. I want you to ask God to do something for you tonight. You know, this is an individual affair, isn't it right? It's an individual affair. And you can call on the name of Jesus tonight, and God will do something for you. Oh, I feel the lovely presence of Jesus. I feel the wonderful presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glad to see Omen back there with his hands raised up to God tonight. Let's just lift our hands. Let's just love Jesus. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful thing. God is doing such a wonderful thing tonight. While your eyes are closed, while you're calling on Jesus tonight, we want to have Brother Taylor to come up if he will. And we want to pray with you, and we want you to believe tonight. Now I want you to remember us from night to night. Remember these services. Bring somebody out here. Let's pray the prayer of faith. Let's see God do something here in Macon, Georgia. Let's get people saved for Jesus. The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Let's be a laborer tonight. Let's enter into the harvest tonight, and let's do something for Jesus. I want you to do it with me now. I want you to pray from night to night, and we're going to be praying for you. This is some people supposed to come in out of Alabama to be with us in this meeting also. Let's pray as they come from different places and ask God to do something. Will you do that? Will you do that? Let's just call on the name of Jesus now as our brother prays.